Boy, you can just about preach on anything today. I know it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'm remodifying our message here. The Bible has a lot to say about fathers. And I want to show you something over in Deuteronomy, what the Bible says. The Jews, now, if anybody ought to be thankful this morning, we're in America. You ought to thank God you're not in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because if you're Old Testament, look what the Bible says. Hold your place in Acts chapter 11. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy, I'll find it here in a minute. Find it here in a second. Now, what the Bible says that a father and mother should do to the son that was rebellious. If that was the case, what we're going to read here, if that was the case, we'd all be in trouble. And let me find it. Where is it? I had it marked somewhere. I'll find it here in a second. It just popped in my mind. I want you all to see, thank God we're not in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 21. There it is. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Starts at 18. Now, if we did this today, and we wouldn't be any young men around. Probably wouldn't be any young children. But the reason why the Lord told them that, because of Israel, they're supposed to be in subjection. You ever notice how Asian children are more in subjection than European families? Asian kids are more respectful to their parents because of the way they raise them. And European kids, they're different than the way they were raised. And so the Asian kids, you see that, you know, Japanese, Chinese and all that, they're more respectful to their family traditions and all that stuff. But look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. I just want you to see this. If a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, it says, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, that when they have chastened him and will not hearken unto them, this is talking about a young man that's of age, a teenager just about, or older, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him. Amen. I'm for laying hold. Amen. Laying hold on him. And bring him out onto the elders of the city and onto the gate of the place. Y'all need to mark this in your Bible. Now, we don't practice this, and there's, as far as I know, it's against law for people to do this. And but the Bible says in verse 20, they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall what? Stone him with stones. That's not the, you know, rolling stones. That's real stones. That's stones. That he die, so shall I put evil away from among you, and Israel shall hear and fear. If a man have committed a sin, so on. So that's what they did in Moses' day, if a child was rebellious. Go back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And, you know, we don't do that today. If it was, I'd been gone a long time ago. I was a rebellious, stubborn kid. And the Lord had, you know, saved me and changed my whole attitude. You can take stubbornness and use it for good. Amen. You can use it for God's glory. But most people use stubbornness against God. Isn't it something how people will be stubborn against the Spirit of God, and they won't be stubborn against the devil, unclean spirits, and all that stuff? But Acts chapter 11, and I want you to see this. And I'm going to talk about a Christian father this morning, how you know a real Christian father. And Acts chapter 11, verse 21, it says this. He says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Notice they says they turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And now, if you understand what's going on here, the church in Jerusalem was founded, and man, Acts chapter 2 says every man heard them speak in tongues and their own language. And you said, do you believe in tongues? Yes, according to the Bible, not what you say today. Not the tongues that they talk about today. I believe according to the Bible, because the Bible says every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were preaching, they were preaching the gospel and people were getting saved and they heard them speak in their own language. It wasn't, all that crazy stuff. It wasn't that mess, falling around on the floor. It wasn't that. And you say, what do you believe about today? The stuff that they're talking today, the stuff they're preaching today is not of God. They're walking around doing all that stuff. But the Bible says every man heard them in their own language. And the Bible says the church was founded in Jerusalem. It was the first church that was ever founded was in Jerusalem. And the Bible says this. Look at this. Look at here. Look what it says. And it says that in verse, where was I? What verse was that? 21. And it says this. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And then tidings of these things came on the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And Christians were, they were called Christians in Antioch. That's where it started. They were first called Christians in Antioch, who when they came had seen the grace of God. Now, can you see the grace of God? Yes, you can. They seen the grace of God. What it was is a bunch of people that got saved and they changed and lives were changed and they were glad when they seen it. They seen what God could do in a person's life. And God changed men and women. And I believe God can still change men and women. Amen? Yeah. I know this. God changed me. He changed you. He changed us for his glory, for his honor. If you're willing to be changed. We were preaching last week over in Philippians chapter 1. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's in Corinthians. But it says, as for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul said, he talked about living for Jesus Christ and being a new man, a new Christian, a new person in Jesus Christ. And I believe if a man gets saved, there ought to be some change in his life. There ought to be something that's evident you can see that's changed in his life. His speech ought to change. His lifestyle ought to change. The way he hangs out ought to change. Where he the people he hangs around with ought to change. Everything ought to change in his life. If it hasn't changed, there probably hasn't been no change on the inside. There should be a change. If it's a change on the inside, should be a change on the outside. And because you say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 22, it says, tidings of these things came onto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And who, when he came, seeing the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. They should purpose in their heart to cleave unto God. The Bible talks about Daniel and his friends purpose in their heart. They were not going to eat the king's meat. They weren't going to go that way. They were going to honor God. It says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. Then parted Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him on Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And disciples were first called what? Christians. Now, come on now. Don't die on me now. What were they called?
Christians.
At first in Antioch. I believe, how you know a real Christian father? It can apply to anybody. I preach this message a different way. It can apply to anybody. How you know a real Christian? I mean, a Christian that ought to see change. And the Bible talks about, calls Christian. It says, King Agrippa said one time, he said, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And a lot of people that say they're Christian today are not real Christian. They're just used and tame. They use the quote, I'm a Christian. They use that just as a token of some sort. But a real Christian, it should be mean like Christ-like. They should see Jesus Christ in you. If the world walked by, they ought to see Jesus Christ in you. If you look like you're mad, always upset, or you're drinking, or you're doing something else that you shouldn't be doing, then that's not being a Christian. That's not acting like a Christian. That's not living like a Christian. The Bible says disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. How do you know a real Christian man, a Christian father? It's by his fruit. By his fruit. Now you don't practice fruit for fruit. You don't practice fruit. You bear it. Amen. You're supposed to bear fruit in your life. And every Christian man, a Christian father, ought to have fruit to show in his life. His number one fruit ought to be his family. That number one fruit ought to be your family. They should see Jesus Christ by the fruit of your family. I mean, your family, they ought to be following Jesus Christ, following your footsteps. The other night, I get a blessing out of my grandkids. They want to be with Grandpa, and they love being around Grandpa. I'm glad. I mean, folks, if you knew where I came from, what God's done, I mean, you would think, man, oh, man, could he be a pastor? Could he do anything? But, man, God changed me from the inside and started changing the outside. And my grandson goes on visitation with me Thursday night. We went up to the hospital, and we was walking around, and it tickled me. We was on the elevator. He says, Pop, I got past tracks. He calls these, I think every Christian father ought to have tracks on them all the time. I mean, he said, I go somewhere, I'm always feeling, I said, man, I better have tracks. I believe you ought to have tracks on you. I mean, rabbits leave tracks, animals leave tracks, Christians ought to leave tracks, amen? We was out there, man, and we got on the elevator. It was a black nurse on the elevator, and she come on there, and I got a white pair of pants on. My grandson's got a beige-looking pair of pants. He's got a shirt on like Pop, and, man, we're carrying our Bible, and I got a toothpick in my mouth, and we get on the elevator. We're standing there, and we look like two peas in a pot. He looked like a mini-me, and the nurse, he said, boy, ain't he cute. Like, ain't he cute, and he got the biggest smile on his face, and he wants to be like Pop, and what a blessing that is. And I'll tell you what, that your children ought to want to follow in your footsteps. They ought to want to be like you. They shouldn't say, when I grow up, I ain't going to be like my dad. My dad taught me how to drink. My dad taught me how to steal. My father never rebuked me for stealing. He never said anything about the way I acted, drinking, driving. My father used to flag me when I got out there and cars would come out and race. My dad would flag us and be drunk as a skunk. And my father was the first one that gave me liquor and beer and all those things. My dad was the one that encouraged me to steal. He's the one that taught me when I was a kid. I mean, I went out and stole. He said, we need a telephone pole. I went out and stole a telephone pole. He said, we need an office trailer. I went out and stole the office trailer. And you know what he didn't say? He didn't say, that's wrong, boy. You better not do that. And smack me around. He didn't do that. He patted me on the back and said, that was a good job, boy. Where'd you get it? I don't even want to know. He said, man, that was good. And I was stealing like I was a thief, man. And my dad taught me some things, but he taught me some bad things. And a Christian father, a Christian daddy, you ought to be having some good fruit in your life, and you ought to be being a good example to those little ones, amen, and to your wife, amen. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 7. Look at here. It says in Acts chapter 7, it says about fruit, and Jesus Christ is interested in fruit in your life. A lot of men say, well, don't look at me. Don't look at me being a Christian. If you name the name of Christ, if you're saved, the Bible says you're a Christian or you're a saved man, and you ought to live like a Christian. Your life ought to reflect to what you say you are. And amen. I want to be a Christian. I want to honor God. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I want to serve him. Why? Because of what he's done for me and my wife, my family, and my children, and what he's done in saving me from hell. I'm not going to hell this morning because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. How many of y'all can say amen to that this morning? You're not going to hell this morning, man. I mean, it's not hard being a Christian. Once you get saved, it's not hard. People say, oh, it's so hard to live the Christian life. No, it ain't when you make up your mind. The Bible says they purpose in their heart. When you purpose in your heart to be a Christian, it's not hard. It's not hard at all. Amen. I'm telling you what, man. I purposed in my heart to do a lot of things before I was saved, and I did them. But I'm going to tell you something. After I got saved, the purpose in my heart, I want to be a Christian. It's not hard when you make up your mind. The battle's right here. If you get the battle won right there in your mind, it goes into your heart, and boy, I tell you what, when you make up your mind, the battle's halfway won when you make up your mind. Being a Christian, by his fruits, a real Christian is known, a Christian father. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 13. Matthew 7, 13. It says this. Matthew 7, 13, if I can find it. Matthew 7, 13. It says this. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth on destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth on to life, and few there be that find it. Now, if you're sitting in here this morning, he said, few there be that find it. You're sitting in here, you're of the few. You see that? He said, few there be that find it. Why? But you say, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Man, he wants whosoever will, let him come. Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I mean, here you are. You're sitting here this morning. Man, you're saved on your way to heaven. You ought to have some fruit as a father, as a Christian dad, as a Christian mom. Ought to have some fruit in your life to show that you're a Christian. The Lord's going to inspect fruit. He's going to look at your life and say, what kind of fruit do you have? What kind of fruit? You know what my job is? My job as a pastor is to get you to bear fruit, to get you to the place to nurture you and to try to dung you in the sense of preparing the tree that tree can bring forth fruit. But you know what I find? I find a lot of people don't even want it. They don't want it. They listen. They hear, it goes in one ear, out the other. They don't listen.
That's right.
They don't want the fruit in their life. You know, why is it that when we got saved, God saved us, and amen, keeps us out of hell, that we still don't listen to him?
Right.
Yeah. We always listen to our old father.
Right.
My brother got up here and prayed this morning and said, Happy Father's Day to God. Because of why? He is a good father.
Amen.
He's a good father. You said, what about these people dying on the mission field? What about their children? God's still a good father. He knows what he's doing. I can trust him. Amen.
Yeah.
Look at verse 14. But because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, few there be to find it. You ever thank God for allowing you to be saved? I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in, you know, just the very elect going to be saved. I know the Bible says whosoever will, let him come. I'm not a Calvinist, but I go down the road sometimes saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for having mercy on me. Thank you for being good to me. Look what else it says in verse 14. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. I mean, man, there's a bunch of them, false prophets, and inwardly are raveling wolves. And ye shall know them by their what? Fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Oh, do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree, look what it says now, underline this in your Bible. Verse 18, underline it. A good tree cannot bring forth what? Come on now, what?
Evil fruit.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's saying a good tree is always going to bear good fruit. And an evil tree is always going to bring forth evil fruit. A Christian dad, you ought to be good at having good fruit in your life. There ought to be some fruit in your life. You say, what is Jesus Christ? He's a fruit inspector. He went by that tree, that fig tree. We've used that a million times. He went by that fig tree looking for fruit. He's going to come by your life. He's going to say, how long you been saved? And he's going to say, how long you been saved? And he's going to look for fruit in your life. He wants fruit. You know, the Bible talks about how patient he is, how long-suffering he is. He wants fruit, though. He wants fruit from you. We have children, and God's given us a responsibility, dads, to raise those children and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and raise them up to teach them to love God and teach them. I always tell fathers when I talk to them, I said, hey, man, just be consistent in your walk with God. What happens to most families is they become inconsistent in their walk with God, and they'll serve God for a little bit. And they think, well, the kids are young, it's all right. I'll serve God for a little while. But as they get older, they're watching the inconsistencies in your life. And before long, they'll say, it ain't real. It ain't real in their life. You better be consistent. God wants fruit in your life. He's a fruit inspector. You know, the Bible says the love of when the Holy Spirit of God inside you, it says there's fruit. When the Holy Ghost of God is inside, you don't go spewing off your mouth, saying all kinds of bad words when you get mad. The Bible says, be ye angry, sin not. When you get mad and get upset, you don't start using all kinds of blankety-blank this and blankety-blank-blank, and nobody could tell that you were a Christian.
Right.
Especially, you'll ruin your testimony. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you'll walk in the Spirit. So how do you do that? First thing in the morning, get in your Bible.
Right.
Get in the Bible. Pray. Pray for your wife. Pray for your kids. Pray for them, Lord. God, protect them. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Daddy, you're going to be responsible for your family. I tell people, I say, you know what fathers are? You're pastors. You're pastors. So, well, I'm not a pastor. Oh, yes, you are. You're a pastor to your family. And God's given you a responsibility to watch over your wife and your children and to not only care for them physical things, not material things, but spiritual things. A lot of times men will leave the spiritual matters to their wife. They'll say, well, we'll let them handle that. No, man. God's going to hold you accountable for the things, spiritual things in your life. Amen. In their life. He's going to hold you accountable. Christian, how you know a real Christian daddy? By fruit. The Bible tells us that there's fruit of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 10, excuse me. There's fruit of righteousness. And the Bible, every Christian ought to increase in fruit of righteousness. Doing what's right. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? My wife went away for a week. I didn't go, woo, I'm going to go out and live where I want to live. Ain't nobody going to know. I'm going to sneak around. I didn't do that. Every night I went to bed, I just kept saying, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, my baby back. Y'all get that in a minute. That was a commercial. I look forward for my wife to be with me. Look forward to be with my children. I look forward to things. A Christian dad, can you be trusted? We had Dave White come in here years ago. Years ago, Dave White came here and walked in his church. Him and his wife were having problems. And they were having marital problems. And Dave walked in here, and he walked right up to me and said, he said, how do you keep your wife happy? I said, Walmart opened up. She's happy all the time. No. No. He said, how do you keep your wife happy? I said, well, ask her. So there was only a few people here. And he walked over and says, how's your husband keep you happy? And she looked at me. She thought, she's getting ready to punch him in the mouth. She thought he was some kind of pervert or something. He said, how's your husband keep you happy? And she looked at me and I went, answer him. She said, by him doing right and honoring God, I know I can trust him. Amen. You ladies can say amen to that. Your husband's doing right, you can trust him. Fruit of righteousness. God's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit in your life. Take your Bible if you would. Turn with me. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Look at this thing. Look what the Bible says about the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, you don't know the men I work with. You don't know all the environment I'm around. You can be a Christian no matter where you're at. Amen. You can be a Christian dad no matter where you're at. So, preacher, you haven't been out. Oh, I've been out there, brother. I've been out there. How you know a real Christian father? By his fruit. Here's what the Bible says. It says this. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 17. It says, back up to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you would be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now look at it. Check it out. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. It says, which are these? Adultery. I had a man call me up the other day. He said, preacher, I'm working down the beach. He said, you know what I'm facing? I said, I know what you're facing, but don't be looking. Try not to look. He said, man, we're hardly wearing anything. He said, I'm down here at the beach. I said, man, keep your mind on thing. Pray. I said, get you some tracks. It would help you if you see something that you're lusting after, you're thinking about. I said, get you the tracks and go up. I said, ladies, if you have to, go out of your way. But you have to give them a track and tell them, say, Jesus Christ died for you, ma'am. You're going to face God one day. You need to get saved. And just be nice about it, but try to witness to him. And you start looking at things the way God looks at it. You start thinking, that person's going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved, rather than what you can get or how you can gain. You look at it the way God looks at it. The Bible says this, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, of such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look what verse 22 says. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I mean, man, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is the way to go as a child of God, as a Christian man. We say a Christian, let's walk as Christians. Let's be Christians. Let's not just talk it. Jesus said, with their mouths they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. Let's be Christian men. On the job, wherever you go, be a Christian man. In the home, be a Christian man. With a family, on vacation, be a Christian man. Be a Christian. How you know a real Christian man? By what he feeds on. What you're eating on. I mean, if you don't read your Bible and you don't spend time in the Word of God and praying, what's going to happen to you? I mean, we sang that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. If you're going to stay strong, you're going to have to get in the book. You're going to have to eat. You're going to have to, man, feed on the Word of God. If you feed only on other things, man, the Bible tells us this. A Christian starts with when he gets saved. How many of y'all been saved less than a year? Less than a year. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five been saved less than a year. You know what the Bible tells us this? It says as a baby Christian, you're supposed to start out you say, man, I read the Bible. I read the Bible. I can't understand it. It's just too hard. I don't understand anything. The reason why? Because the Bible's got milk, vegetables, and meat in it. And there's places in the Bible you read it and you chew it and you go, man, I can't chew this. You can't take a steak and shove it down a baby's mouth because a baby are choked to death. When you just got saved, the Bible's got milk in it. And that's where you go. You find the milk. You get the milk from the Word of God. The Bible tells us there's milk in it. And the Bible says, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. God's desire is for a Christian man, a Christian person, is to grow and get the milk of the Word of God. I love milk. I love vegetables. I love meat. And boy, when you get to a place where you can enjoy all of them at the same time, what a blessing that is.
Amen.
A Christian man, a real Christian father, a Christian man and a Christian person ought to have desire to grow and get in the Word of God. He tells Simon Peter, he says, Simon Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. As a pastor, I'm supposed to, man, you have some folks over here, they're all they want is meat. All they want is meat. Give me the meat. Give me the meat. And you got some folks saying, man, I can't handle meat. I mean, how about some vegetables? You know what that mama does? I even watched my little granddaughter feeding little Jackson. I call him Chubbs. I watch, Becky has grinds up stuff, and I watch little Boo Boo. She'll take a spoon, and she'll go to feed Jackson. I don't know why it is. Mamas do it. My wife says I do it. But when they go to put it in his mouth, we go and make a, you know, kind of help them out. They open their mouth and feed them, you know, and that's kind of like what a bird does. And take a little worm and stick it in the baby's mouth. But you know what God does? God, every time you get in the Word of God, God goes, okay, here's something good for you. Open your mouth. Oh. He wants why? He wants you to grow. In the Bible, when Jesus Christ told Simon Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And man, some people, all they want is meat. I mean, they want to know what's going on. What's the most mystery in the Bible? I want to know what it is. I want to know how the Lord's coming. I want to know who the Antichrist is. They want to know all the meat part. But they don't want no vegetables. Vegetables is good for you. Amen. Vegetables is going to, I mean, meat is protein. Vegetables is what? It's like vitamins. Milk is for the bones. And you got to have all three. But as a baby Christian, you just got saved. Man, just stay with the milk. Stay with the milk until you can get to the place where you can digest the vegetables. And then now later on, you can take a steak and cut it up little bit by little bit, and you start getting it, and you go, wow. I'll never forget, man, when I was sitting, when I first got saved, I'm reading the Bible, and I said, I kept reading, and my wife, you know, she read it to me. And then I learned how to read, and I kept reading, and I went, whoa, that fits there. This gives it, man, it started coming together, and I started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I didn't want to stop there. I didn't want to become a stalemate. Christian man. Christian dads, you ought to want to grow. You ought to have a desire. I mean, you're fed by what you read, by what you hear, and what you see. You're fed those ways, by what you hear, see, and what you read. And the Bible talks to us about reading the Word of God. You know what I find? I find when Christians start falling out and Christians start backsliding, the first thing I ask them is what? Have you been reading your Bible? You know what I find? They'll say, no. Then I find them coming to church, they don't even carry a Bible. They don't even read the Bible. And they expect they're going to stand. You know, the Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It says that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible gives us equipment to be able to fight this world, the system, and the devil. I mean, can you imagine us going out there and saying, I'm going to take on the devil? You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll what? You know what the Bible tells us? It says, take on the sword of the Spirit. Ryan left this sword here. This sword of the Spirit, man. You say, why is the sword so important? Because it says, resist the devil. You know how you resist somebody? You say, hey, man, I'm not going quietly. I'm not going to let you run over me or my family. I'm going to watch over my wife. You say, I'm resisting. You know, that's what they do. They say, you resist the arrest. I've done that many times. That was stupid. How many of y'all resisted arrest many times? Come on now, be honest now. Stand up. No, don't stand up. Don't stand up. Don't stand up. I've resisted arrest. But you know what you do? The Bible says take on the whole armor of God. You have a helmet. You have a breastplate. You have the sword. You have a shield. You have the sword. I'm not saying you can take it. I've heard a lot of preachers say, I'm going to take the devil on. No, you better not, man. You better leave that to Jesus Christ. Amen. But the Bible says resist the devil. You know why? And it says he'll flee. You know what you do? You put your sword out and say, Lord, I'm going to stand for you. I know I can't beat him. And all of a sudden, somebody steps up behind you. And then he walks up beside you and the devil goes, ooh, you brought him on board. I'll see you later. I'll catch up with you later. It says, resist the devil. The Bible also tells us don't give place to the devil. Don't let him have a place in your life. I mean, if you gain ground in your life, man, and you fought for ground for all the years that you've been saved, and you just turn around and go, oh, you can have it back. And it costs blood to gain that ground. And you say, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit. Christian dad, that's a fool. You know what? Because the devil ain't going to play fair. You know what he'll do? He'll devour you. He'll eat you alive. Christian dad ought to always be armed. Always. You better have your Bible. You better be feeding. Why? You need your strength. If you think about, the Bible says David took Goliath's sword. David was a young man when he killed Goliath. But the Bible says he took Goliath's sword. Can you imagine how big Goliath's sword was? If Goliath was 9'6", this is for a normal man. But if Goliath's sword had to be at least 6 foot long, and David had that sword, and David wasn't no sissy. That boy slinging a sword like that, he had to have some strength. If you don't get in that Bible and you don't get put on the whole armor of God, you ain't going to be able to stand. No. We can't count on you to hold the line. Faith Baptist Church, we got men. We're going to hold the line, protect our families, can protect our children, stand for God. What you want to do, you want to just... hang around the enemy. Associate, drink, party with the enemy. You know what the Bible calls you? The Bible calls you an enemy of the cross. What you see, what you hear, what you read. You wonder why you can't get victory? You listen to the wrong stuff? How you know a real Christian man? Our Christian father? By what he fellowships with. You know, I got saved. I quit hanging around with that old crowd. You know what I started doing? I started witnessing to them. Why? You say you love your friends. I used to say this. I said, I love my friends. I love them. I love my friends. But if you love your friends, you wouldn't want them to die and go to hell. I heard, had a preacher tell me in my face, said, you love your friends, boy. You better tell them about Jesus Christ. I started to, I didn't have to worry about them, me leaving them. They left me. I started witnessing them. They quit hanging around with me, man. I said, why don't y'all come to church? At one point, after I got saved, I made all of them get on their knees and get saved. But they really didn't mean it. By what he fellowships with. A real Christian father? You want to go back? You say, I love my friends. If you love them, you don't want to see them die and go to hell. If you love them, you wouldn't want to live for Jesus Christ in front of them. But I can't imagine you loving your friends more than you loving your wife and your children.
Amen.
Most of all, your Savior. Fellowship. How you know a real Christian father? By what he forsakes. Jesus talked about forsaking father, mother, sister, and brother. I got saved. Man, you're going to forsake some things. Some people are so connected with their family. If their family, I've had people tell me this. My father was a Catholic, and my grandfather was Catholic, and my great-grandfather was Catholic. If they went to hell, I'll go to hell with them. I said, I wouldn't go to hell from nobody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to hell from my mama. I wouldn't go to hell from my father. Why? It'd be foolish. By what you forsake. A real Christian father. Tell you how you know a real Christian father is by the way he forgives. Some people, man, you harbor, man, unforgiveness in your heart, you hatred. You harbor that stuff inside. You got to let it go. I know women are more apt to carry that you know, the harbor stuff in their hearts. This brother I was telling this morning in Sunday school, a preacher called me up and said his wife was on Facebook and all that happened. And then she said, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. You need to get right. And all the women in church turned against her. And she got to the point where she didn't want to go to church because those women that was in the church turned against her. And I told him, I said, comfort your wife. Comfort her and tell her, look, I'm with you, honey. I need you. I need you to help me. A pastor's wife doesn't have it easy. But a Christian woman just trying to do right, man, her husband's not, that's like hell on earth. That's like having a man, a split home. It's having a different man in your house. A Christian father. He ought to forgive. Mama ought to forgive. He ought to get things right. And people ought to forgive one another. And what happens if Christians don't? They don't do it. They'll harbor stuff. They'll get mad. And they'll harbor it against somebody in the church or some other Christian. They'll harbor that stuff. How you know a real Christian man? By who he fears. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, beginning of knowledge, understanding. It's the fear of God. You better fear the Lord. Why? Jesus said, fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. The Bible says that you can't. There's a lot of churches believe you can lose your salvation. We don't believe that because the Bible says you can't. Said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Brother Joe's going to be getting into that in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You're saved, you're saved. You belong to God. But man, I tell you what, you better fear the Lord. You better fear him. You know what the Bible tells us? It says perfect love casts out fear. So what do you mean by that? Is that contradiction in the Bible? No. If you're walking with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, you ain't got fear of judgment. You don't have to fear. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. You ain't got fear of God going to judge you because you're walking with him. How about a Christian? How about a real Christian? Don't just say I'm a Christian and don't live it. We have enough of that. We have enough Christians living like that. Fear of man bringeth a snare. I'll tell you this. We need more Christian daddies. We need men that's going to be consistent as a Christian. Living, reading their Bible, praying, seeking God on a daily basis. Not just talking it, but walking it. The proof is in the pudding, man. Walk it. Live for God. Don't allow your children one day to raise up and say, well, you are a hypocrite. We're all hypocritical in some area in our lives, but you don't want your kids to use that to live like hell.
Yeah.
Hey, Christian dad, Christian mom, Christian family, it's important. The Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. You know why they were called that? Because in Antioch, Syria, those men, those women, those children reminded them of Jesus Christ, of what they heard about him. If I went down to your job tomorrow, came up on the job, and I said, hey, do you know so-and-so? And they said, oh, yeah. I said, do you know he's a Christian or she's a Christian? Well, I wonder what they would say. Well, I wonder if they would start laughing and say, they're a Christian? You got to be kidding me. If they're a Christian, there's a man in the moon. I hope that wouldn't be the case. I hope they would say, yes, sir, I know they're a Christian. They've been talking to me. I watched his life. I watched her life. The way they live, they honor God. People are watching you, folks. Children are watching you. We got all these camps coming up. You know what's our kids, the biggest problem we have with Christian kids in church. You say, well, they were raised in church. The church, they're only in church for about 5% or less of their time, 3%. The rest of the time they're at home, they're at school. 97% of the time they're at home or they're at school. And what happens is people say, well, I raised them in church. So you blame God for your kids going bad. You blame the church for your children going wrong. When the truth be known is they learn from home. What they learn from home. I want to be a Christian. Not just in name. I want to be a Christian in action. The way I live my life. I want people to say, I know the preacher. I know he's not going to do wrong. He's going to do what's right. He's going to live for God. He's not going to steal. I was a thief before I was saved. I was a drunkard before I was saved. I was a liar before I was saved. There ought to be a change. Amen. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. My Father, I pray, God, you'd help my brothers and sisters here this morning, especially the